Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go, Hour 2, GBAC Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Christie's on Lower Greenville, digesting another round of Cowboys news. As it appeared earlier, we were heading once again down the Schottenheimer path. But, you know, they got the e-brake pulled on it just over an hour ago. Nick Harris with a source saying this is far from over. And the name Rich Bisaccia has popped up on Cowboys Twitter significantly, most notably from Ed Werder, a name that Broadus mentioned last week, maybe even before that as a potential candidate. The name Pete Carroll is out there as well. Not hearing much Kellen Moore. So I guess if you're going glass half full, haven't heard his name in a significant way since he interviewed last Friday as far as being a real candidate. But come join us. We're upstairs here at Christie's. And, we'll be here all the way until 7 o'clock. Enjoy Stella Artois or Stella Artois N.A. Mm-hmm. And they make one of the best 0.0s out there. And I don't think you can taste the difference. It's incredible what they're doing here these days with the beer signs. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news today.
Yeah, Christie's also having their fourth party for their four-year anniversary. So tomorrow, Friday at 7 o'clock, they're going to have go-go dancers. They're going to have poker tables. It's going to be the place to be tomorrow night right here at Christie's for their four-year anniversary party, Lower Greenville. So if you're looking for something to do on your Friday night, come on out. Just try some of the Southwestern egg rolls. They're delicious. They really, really are. Absolutely
dominant.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the French fries, the chicken wings. I mean, this is just a top-tier sports bar spot.
Tell the spot. It is. So come on out. We'll be here till 7 o'clock, Christie's, Lower Greenville. I did just see this prior to the break. So we're wondering who's going to be the Cowboys head coach. We don't know about the coordinators either, although it does seem like the Cowboys like to do the weird thing where we're kind of talking to people about being a coordinator before we hire a head coach. Maybe that's what's been going on with Brian Schottenheimer. We don't know. But Rex Ryan, according to Pro Football Talk, revealed that he could have been the Cowboys' DC this past season, but the Cowboys weren't offering enough money to make it happen. He then said, with Brian Schottenheimer as the head coach, maybe I could be back in play as the defensive coordinator, because Shoddy was his OC in New York from 2009 to 2011, so they have worked together in the past. But anytime you're basically accusing the Cowboys of being cheap, they weren't willing to pay me enough money, I don't know. You think they're going to circle back and be like, yeah, we really want you this time around, Rex?
No, I think he's just finding a way to make it about him, which is no surprise. But I would be shocked beyond disbelief if he's a realistic candidate.
Was Shoddy the OC with the Jets during the butt fumble?
He might have been. I mean, he was there with Mark Sanchez.
Did he call the butt fumble play? We need to get the behind the butt. Take us back, channel us down.
Yeah, I wonder what year that was.
What was the call?
Was it 99?
No. It was with Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, it was 2012.
Oh, 2012.
So I don't know if
he left in 11.
Oh, he left in 11?
I think so.
Oh, that hurts.
I think 11 was his last year with the Jets.
I was hoping that he was the orchestrator of the butt fumble.
But you might be right. Do some homework on how long Shoddy was there. If he was there in the 2012 season.
Well, you know I got the Shoddy resume down pat.
Oh, I know you do. I know you do.
You know,
back of your hand.
I know all the years that he was everywhere.
Oh, you sure? It's like even that ricotta menu, baby.
Even when he wasn't there.
Damn right.
I knew he was.
Okay, Titans. This is crazy stuff right now. We've assumed Cam Ward's going number one overall, and I know there's a fresh new Piping Hot draft show that's out today that you can go and check out with my fellas, and they had a conversation about this, but the world kind of broke down in the NFL when you had Chad Brinker, the Titans president of football ops, say, quote, "We won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick in the draft. We won't do that." So now you've got WEEI in New England. They're freaking out. They're like, wait a second. We thought quarterbacks were going. We've got our quarterback. We want the quarterbacks going one, maybe even two. Hell, maybe even three. Give us Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter at four. They're freaking out. Here's Adam Schefter joining WEEI in Boston.
So, Adam, last one here. Earlier today, this is sort of more looking forward into the draft. You tweeted out around 11:30 today, Titans president of football operations Chad Brinker, yes, at today's press conference to introduce, yeah, GM Mike Borgonzi. "We won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick in the NFL draft." If you had to guess, not holding your feet to the fire per se, but if you had to guess, who do you think that generational talent might be? Or do you have any intimations as to which way the Titans would be going?
the defensive lineman from Penn State or the wide receiver cornerback from Colorado. That quote told me that they are not locked in to take a quarterback at one. That is not what New England wanted to hear, that quote today.
No, it was not, sir.
Certainly not.
That's unfortunate, Adam, but we end on a low note, so a great player is not going to drop to the Patriots. At four, appreciate you.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking if you're a Patriot fan. I don't know. It could be smoke screens. You never really know, but you got the number one overall pick. You pretty much don't have to put out stuff out there for other teams necessarily. Maybe if they want a quarterback, you're saying, come on up and get the number one pick. It also says kind of what we've been saying and heard with Cam Ward and Shador. Like, these aren't surefire necessarily round one graded quarterbacks. You know someone's going to take him in the top 10 because you need quarterbacks. You're going to get pushed up the board. But I kind of do commend a team in Tennessee that might say, look, we don't have these guys rated high. We're going to go ahead and draft the best player available.
Yeah, I mean, this is smokescreen season. I don't think anybody knows what they really want to do at this point, but I think this is a heady play to just keep all your options open. And it's like, hey, New England, you really want Travis Hunter? You really want one of these guys? Then why don't you trade up to come get him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you do it. Maybe Tennessee feels like we could trade down a few spots and still get our quarterback.
Yeah, I commend it. You know, if I'm a fan of Tennessee right now, if you truly don't believe either one of these quarterbacks is, you know, going to be a franchise guy or has a chance to be special, then I'd stand in there and take, even if, you know, nobody's going to trade up to number one. I have no problem doing that. You know, we don't need to be in a hurry to get the great quarterback if our team's not ready to play, you know. And, you know, let's take a wide receiver or an edge rusher now. We'd be back at the top five next year. And if we like those that crop of quarterbacks better, that you need to take a long-term, you know, view of building.
Okay, now we've got, Eric, you teased this earlier, but the Most Valuable Player Award, we've got all the honors that are going to be teams that are players that are finalists here. There's no Cowboys that are finalists for any award.
Really?
I know that's a shocker. I know it is. I mean, I was really thinking
the anti-Cowboy agenda.
I know, man. It's just ridiculous. Like, you're telling me Jordan Lewis wasn't Defense Player of the Year worthy? Get out of here. Micah.
Dak Prescott, MVP,
I mean, like,
runner
Micah,
up.
Stat for stat, just in the games that he played, like, if we extrapolate that over 17 games.
That's DPOY stuff.
He's the Defensive Player of the Year, okay? So this is just absolute bias against our Dallas Cowboys. But Offensive Player of the Year finalists, you got Barkley, Burrow, Chase Henry, and Lamar Jackson.
Isn't that a joke that Jaden Daniels should be in there?
He should be in there, especially since one of these guys is going to end up, well, I guess, you don't have Josh Allen here, so Allen's only chance would be really to win the MVP. But I agree. Jaden Daniels has got to be in there. I think this is Barkley's award, though. Defensive Player of the Year, Eagles linebacker Zach Bond. Free agent signing. Well done. You got Myles Garrett from the Browns, Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals, Pat Surtain II from the Broncos, T.J. Watt, who won it in 2021. Offensive Rookie of the Year, this is where you get Jaden Daniels, Brock Bowers, Malik Nabers, Bo Nix, Brian Thomas. That's going to Jaden, right?
Oh, unequivocally.
Should be.
Yes. I mean, shout out to Brock Bowers. He did everything in his tight end power to get that award.
Really, all these players put out outstanding numbers this year.
Maybe if Brock Bowers got in the VR world, maybe he could have taken it to even higher levels.
He ends up having like 200 catches and...
And 4 million yards.
Yeah, absolutely.
It hurts with Zach Bond, though, being a free agent addition. The only silver lining there is he's going to be a free agent again.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can't re-sign with Philadelphia.
I mean, dude, the Eagles have a bunch of dudes that
they didn't have last year. Barkley, free agent. He's a finalist for MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Cooper DeJean, draft pick. Quinyon Mitchell, draft pick. Right? I mean, what they did was pretty damn awesome.
Dick Fangio, Assistant Coach of the Year. He's nominated.
Unbelievable. Fisk, Chop Robinson, Jared Verse, your other, and then the Coach of the Year, you got Andy Reid, Dan Quinn, Sean Payton, Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell, and Sean Payton.
You know,
finalists there.
You know what's crazy? They have all these new incoming Eagles that are nominated to be award winners, except for Kellen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
It's glaring.
That is strange.
It's a glaring omission.
Ooh.
You know, their defensive coordinator they just brought in, old Dickie V, he's a candidate.
He gets
all the rookies they brought in that were worth their salt are on there.
They got a running back on there.
They got Saquon
Barkley
on there. That's crazy that Kellen Moore.
No, Kellen.
More anti-Cowboy bias.
Unbelievable. Then you got Russell Wilson. Okay. Eric, you and I think, are... We're definitely leaders in the campaign of, like, making fun of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, we're I'd like to think we're at the forefront.
We really are. And one of our favorite stories was the high knees and the up downs and whatever he was doing on that plane.
And the 26-hour-a-day finger rehab.
Well, he addressed this with Pat McAfee, and maybe the story and the legend of this isn't as great as we thought, or is Russ just trying to butt crack us? Take it away, Pat.
Getting better every day. That's Russell Wilson, baby. I want to let you know that is part of your brand. Because remember, we heard the flight. You did the high knees during the flight over to England. Remember? Heard that.
Yeah, you know, listen, I think every player in the National Football League, any NBA guy, they're always moving on the plane. It's... Yeah, I think they drew that out of proportion. But
oh, no! What? No! I heard you were
Maybe not that much movement, but, you know, close to it. But I think that, you know, I think it's part of being a pro is always, you know, being able to move and keep your body fluid, especially, you know, on a 10-hour flight. But, you know, it's all right. I'll take the memes. I don't mind, you know.
You did get murdered. I mean, you got murdered for that one. That one was a murder scene.
It was. And he still has. But he's saying the whole annoying the Broncos teammates, maybe not necessarily true. I don't believe you, Russ.
Yeah. You know, I think this wouldn't be the first time that Russell Wilson and the rest of his team weren't on the same page on something.
Yeah.
I know it drove that Seattle defense crazy.
I'm going to call this a full-on Russ sacking.
The old Russ sack, huh?
Russ sacking. Yeah, he's full of it here.
I remember when a defensive player said that he was built like a sack of potatoes?
Yeah, and you know what? They're not wrong. Let's go stay with Russ here. He wants to stay in Pittsburgh. We have been starting to talk a little bit. We had meetings and everything else, and we're getting into it. It's an exciting time. What an exciting time. Shout out to you, Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is some momentum building. Steelers keeping Russell Wilson. I mean, I don't know who's really the one who is the leader in charge of who they're going to keep at quarterback, but come on. You just saw what that experiment got you, and it was one and done in the playoffs. What about Sam Darnold, Sammy D? You want to give that a shot? There's got to be some other quarterback out there that you can bring in outside of Russ.
I mean, the Russell Wilson thing would be interesting, you know, as far as what kind of a deal are we going to do here? Because I think Sam Darnold could end up costing significantly more. He'd probably want more years. At this stage in the career, considering where their draft position is, you know, it could make sense if it's a team-friendly type of deal to bring back Russell Wilson. But, you know, I'm ravaging my brain to come up with anything possible. Can we trade up? Is it possible the guy slips to us that we like? You know, I need a long-term plan here at quarterback that doesn't involve Russell Wilson. But, you know, just for next year, if we can keep running the ball and play defense, you know, that might, you know, be a decent consolation at this point.
I think big picture thinking in Pittsburgh, you say, hey, Mikey T, go kick your feet up for 12 months. All right, we're going to bump in Arthur Smith to be the head dog. Big play here.
Yeah.
Big picture, we're going to be picking in the top five.
Finally.
We are a super beast quarterback away from actually being a legit postseason team instead of one of these teams that's like just happy to get in there. That's the missing ingredient, and they haven't been able to get it since Ben Roethlisberger was out of his prime. They are just too good, but not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
This is the plan, Mike. Job security's here. He's not even getting your office. Arthur Smith, like, leave it all here.
Yes.
Just go appreciate whatever it is you need to appreciate about your family and the world.
Go to Thailand, like Cliff.
Yeah, maybe you go to Bangkok.
Do a sabbatical, you know?
Yeah, a little sabbatical. Absolutely.
After 15 years grinding like this.
You've earned this. You deserve it, Mike. And guess what?
We're staying on the payroll.
We'll have a top five pick, pot of gold, waiting for you when you come back.
Gosh, this is genius. Although, scary thought, could you imagine Arch Manning in the black and yellow?
Wow.
I'd rather not.
I'd feel sick.
I can, but
I can, I have, and I will, old Chuck.
But I love that out-of-the-box thinking from you, Eric, and more teams should really think like that. Let's get creative here.
Archie said he wants him to play two more years at Texas, right?
Okay, cool. So we're good this year. We'll wait two more years, and we'll do this. Kevin Stefanski is going to go back to calling plays, by the way, in Cleveland. And the Super Bowl halftime show just got a little bit sexier. We've got SZA, who's going to join Kendrick Lamar as a guest during this year's Super Bowl. And, of course, Snoop Dogg is going to be hosting the NFL Honors. So we've got a lot of entertainment to look forward to in New Orleans here in just a couple of weeks.
Hey, just to put a bow on this, it was Tony Sperano, play caller for the Jets. He called the butt fumble. It was not our guy Shoddy.
Was that after his Miami stint or before?
It was. It would have been
right after.
It would have been after.
Damn.
Yeah. Sperano replaced Shoddy.
Just missed it.
Thanks for that clarification. We're live at Christie's here, Lower Greenville, brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. Some of the best beer, definitely the best beer glasses in all of beer. So thanks to them for putting us here at Christie's. We're fellowshipping with Tolos, and we're upstairs. So if you walk in, just hit the stairs on your right. You'll see us soon. Okay, when we come back, it's time for the C-Note, full timeline on just a crazier day in Cowboys coaching search news. Where we were just a couple of hours before the show compared to now is quite incredible. And we're back with the details here to the G-Back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nation, the fan, but yeah, buddy, welcome back. We are live at Christie's on Lower Greenville. Brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. We have the C-Note here. Whirlwind day of covering this Cowboys coaching search. Might not be even close to done. When we woke up today and watching reports throughout the morning hours, it appeared a decision could be imminent. But not so fast, my friend, is once again the theme of the day. Wait till you see all these development segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Broadus has been busy on the phone once again, hearing some really interesting things. We started the day, at least I did, with a tweet from Clarence Hill. Look for the Cowboys to cross the finish line on the hiring of Brian Schottenheimer no later than Friday, possibly today. So I was like, holy cow, I guess this thing's going to be official. Nick Harris, Star Telegram, right before we went on the air today. And this was after he himself tweeted this morning, you know, that Shoddy had appeared to be getting the job, and said his sources that said they would be surprised were then surprised that this appeared to be happening. I was like, oh, wow, I guess if Nick's kind of saying this now, then I guess this has got to be done, because he was like one of the only holdouts in the Cowboys reporter group. But the tweet came at 1:59. Far from the end, I fear, was the quote. A source just told me regarding the Cowboys head coaching search. This source is the one I have left that has remained consistent. Schottenheimer's going to stay OC. The noise hasn't affected their thinking. Catch me at the end of this, fellas. Well, over the last hour, Nick Harris wrote an article about the possibility of Pete Carroll, and conversations have been going on. You can jump onto the Star Telegram's website and read more about that, but there's been an informal, and his source said it's at least big enough to report, so reporting it he is. Ed Warder saying the Cowboys have not made a request to the Packers regarding an interview with Rich Bisaccia, but Matt LaFleur told him he thought it would be an excellent candidate to be head coach. So Bisaccia's name is picking up steam. And Josina Anderson said, I've been told some of the head coach prospects the Cowboys interviewed have been told that they will not get second interviews, per league source, but they've had informal conversations with at least one other head coach prospect that I am aware of. So if you are fired up and disappointed by the idea of Schottenheimer being the head coach, I think you have a lifeline here, you know, maybe to somebody. And Brian, you're reporting that this is probably a split jury behind the scenes?
Yeah, I think that Steven and Jerry Jr. are involved in this one. And
okay.
They're trying to convince Dad to hire Schottenheimer. And Dad is having some resistance. Now, Dad could step back and say, yes, you're right. They did this before. It sounds like when they did it with Mike McCarthy.
Okay.
The hiring of Mike McCarthy. So a little bit of some push from the Suns about, hey, let's get Shoddy going. He's going to help Dak. This is the reasons why, Dad. We've talked about this going forward, da-da-da-da-da. And Jerry is actually having some resentment about the potential hire.
Yeah.
And so Jerry's going to do what he needs to do to maybe hold things off. I don't know how long he can hold off his sons on this one. We'll see. But that seems to be the direction this thing has been taken.
And I don't know, you know, how to exactly feel about that. I think it is a sign that maybe when Steven and Jerry Jr. take over, you know, with more autonomy or authority, I don't know exactly how to phrase that, but when Jerry's time as the GM is over, no matter what that looks like, I think that would suggest it'll be more about substance than about the sex appeal of a hiring. I think Jerry Jones is looking at the fan base and looking at the headlines right now and understands that many Cowboys fans feel the same way Wolchuk does about it, the potential of hiring Schottenheimer. Nothing to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would like Pete Carroll and Schottenheimer together because I think they, you know, would get through to the organization. We can't treat Dak Prescott like he's Patrick Mahomes. And even with Patrick Mahomes, he only threw for 178 yards in the divisional round, right? It's the running game. And you know, whether that's Rico Dowdle or you know, whoever we come across, we need to put a great offensive line together if we want to get the most out of Dak Prescott, not another wide receiver and hoping he can get the job done with a mediocre offensive line play. So that's where we are at. The Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line is open. Speaking of running backs, guys, as we get through the C-note here, some of the most interesting headlines relevant for your Cowboys every day at 3:20. I can give you the top six free agent running backs. You guys tell me if you would have a level of interest in these guys coming on over to the Cowboys. This is NFL.com with the journalism. And, you know, there's six pretty big names in here. Rico Dowdle is on it, and he is, you know, projected to hit for about $4.5 million next year. If they get through this draft and bring back Rico Dowdle, did he impress you enough in the second half of the season to think that's a viable plan?
Yes. I do think Rico is somebody that he proved he's more than capable of handling the workload and being productive. I still think you need to draft another back because Rico's not a home run threat. I'd like to add somebody with some speed that can go ahead and spell him from time to time. And look, last year was finally the first year Rico stayed healthy. I mean, that was a fair concern from the organization. He hadn't proven to do that. So you got to worry about that and have a contingency plan lined up. So bringing back Rico would love it, but it still wouldn't say, okay, I don't have to draft a back.
I think there's three running backs in this draft that doesn't need an extra guy to help him. Genty, Johnson from Iowa, Hampton from North Carolina. I would think that Henderson from Ohio State, Sampson from Tennessee, Harvey from Central Florida, Junkins from Ohio State, Neal from Kansas. I think those guys would need probably a complimentary back to help them with the carries.
Yeah.
So like I think there's three backs that you could draft, and they could be workhorse backs, and that's all you need. But the other guys in this thing, bringing Rico Dowdle would make a lot of sense for those other backs that I mentioned.
You know, I wouldn't mind Dowdle. I think, you know, if you said let's put it off another year and we'll come back in 2026 and draft a bell cow and hopefully our roster is better equipped to make a playoff run, I wouldn't hate it. But I would love to see what this, you know, how differently this offense could look, how different winning could be if every now and then you get the ball off a kickoff and your guy goes for 75 yards. You know, I think it's not only the red zone threat to score a touchdown, but what Saquon Barkley did last week, scoring those two monster touchdowns, you know, gives you an element that there's no way Rico can do. And there's been very, very few that can do what Saquon Barkley does. But trying to get as close to that as possible to take pressure off the passing game would be awesome. You know, and it, you know, if you get through the first three rounds and every time your name came up, there was, you know, an edge player or a corner or an offensive lineman that you had to take, you know, then I would understand it. But man, like the opportunity to get a running back that can score unexpectedly, I think is exactly what this team needs. Now, Kareem Hunt's on the list. I don't think anybody's going to have interest in him. You know, he spelled Pacheco this year. He got 3.6 an attempt. So he's only projected to be at $1.2 million, and I think he was out of the NFL for, you know, almost a calendar year. J.K. Dobbins with the Chargers. He hit for 4.6 an attempt this year. He is projected at $7.3 million. Seems a little bit too rich, right? If I was going to try to eyeball a number that would make sense for the Cowboys, I think it's $4 million or under.
Yeah, that would be way too much, especially for a guy with the injury history. Yes, he was able to stay mostly healthy this year, but even throughout the season, he was missing time. That wouldn't be a risk I'd be willing to take.
Javonte Williams, he's been under 4 an attempt the last 2 years in Denver after the great rookie year. Somehow he's projected to be $7 million. I'm not looking for anybody that's not at least at 4.5 yards an attempt. I mean, I don't know how much.
He hasn't been the same after his knee injury. I mean, honestly, the names that you're throwing out here, it's just much more apparent. Hey, this isn't a class to skip on a running back. You got some really, in the draft. Like, this is a really good class, and the guys at the top are difference-making type of backs. Like, you can give me a Rico that I can get production from. Is he a difference maker? I think we would agree no. A Genty's a difference maker. I do think a Caleb Johnson from Iowa, if he's there at 44, I don't think he will be, would be a difference maker. Hampton, good player. I don't have him quite as high as those two, but all these guys would be upgrades over the players you're giving me.
I think Aaron Jones can be a difference maker, although he's 30 years old now, but he just put up 1,546 scrimmage yards for the Vikings.
Yeah.
Projected salary at 5.6. The guy who's projected to become the richest 3 years and $27 million is Najee Harris, 4 years in a row with the Steelers at over 1,000 yards. Does that do anything for you? Is that the
no explosion maker? If you're talking about difference maker, explosion, that is not him at all.
Okay. It is day 10 of the coaching search here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. I want to salute Kevin Sherrington. He put Jerry Jones in his place this morning. Maybe Jerry read this and said, I'm not going with Schottenheimer. Because his headline is, Cowboys coach search continues. One thing is certain about Jerry Jones' preferences. I looked through the entire article hoping that he would pay off there, and he did. It says, Jerry prefers a head coach who isn't afraid of clowns. Wow. In the morning news. We need a head coach that's not afraid of clowns, says Kevin Sherrington, an absolute body bag. He says, both Moore and Schottenheimer have seen the circus up close and personal. Some of the coaches mentioned in the search might object, and Jerry can't take that chance. I wonder what that would say about Pete Carroll and Rich Bisaccia. I think Carroll is so, like, super positive enthusiasm guy. He'd be like, yeah, Jerry's just doing his thing. And that might be the perfect dude for it, a guy who's just going to, like, almost ignore it and go about his business firing up the troops best he can.
Well, it's just it's another guy that doesn't have really any other realistic options. Like, that's what you have to go for. Bisaccia, nobody's interviewing him to be their head coach. Nobody's interviewing Shoddy to be anything. Nobody's really I think the Bears may have brought in Pete Carroll for an interview, but it doesn't seem like, he's obviously not getting that job. I don't know, maybe the Raiders end up pivoting that way, but It does. It's like it's guys without options that are like, I don't have any other choice. If I want to coach, this is where I have to do it.
All right, we'll come back in the 4 o'clock hour and revisit that. We're looking for breaking news. I mean, if you're on the fan cam right now, if you're watching us on YouTube, Dallas fan cam, you can see Brian just constantly working
his phone. I'm sorry.
There he is. No, you're doing your job, man. That's great.
Yeah,
it's great, man. Yeah. You're giving us some really valuable insights.
I don't know.
He
might be scrolling the OnlyFans over there.
my subscription's about to run out. I need to fix.
You got to capitalize. Yeah.
I need to get my bank card out right now.
Well, you are going to need to be a little bit more engaged just for one segment coming up next because it's time for Krusty's Corner.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Let's see if we can maybe talk about this a little more, and then I've got some nerdy notes for the playoffs this weekend. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. You might not want a running back in the first round, but the Cowboys better get one by the end of this round. We'll pay off on that tease coming up at 4 o'clock here, top of the hour in the G-Bag Nation. Time now for Krusty's Corner. We're live at Christie's on Lower Greenville, brought to you by Stella Artois. Here's Broadus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Really love the fact of being here at Christie's and Stella with the great beer and stuff that they have. They got horse racing on, Dawson. Have you noticed this?
You know, I have not up until this point. Do we have a chance to get to a parimutuel window?
I'm trying to figure out how I can get this thing hooked up, but I might try and see what we're racing, which is so cool. We're racing like at Aqueduct, which is like they got snow on the ground up there in
Northern Florida?
Yeah, well, not in Florida. Aqueduct is, like I say, all these tracks, all these eastern tracks. It's like the horses are just flying, and then you could just see them breathing and that steam and stuff like that. It's really, really kind of cool to see. So
I love that about football, too. When it's cold, you can see the breath and all that stuff like that.
So, yeah, this place is really, really cool, man, with all the TVs, the setups, and then, you know, with Stella being involved. And the fact that Stella is going to be involved with us for the Super Bowl is super, super exciting as well. So looking forward
to it. We might need to start getting in on some of that, you know, just watching on satellite the horse tracks and betting on the breaks.
Sounds like a fun thing to do.
I've got it on my phone where we can do that.
Let's do it.
You know, but this is the first place that we've been where they actually have the racing, day of racing on in front of us. So we could pull it up, and if we figure out, it's the sixth race, and well, let's bet the seventh race here. You know, we can, and actually get a picture of what we're gonna, you know, see if we're winning this stuff. But you know, I love horse racing; I really do. I think it's fascinating when they do it when it's this cold outside. You know, in some of these tracks.
But
here we are.
I got the vibe that you didn't quite know exactly where the location of this track was. So I'd like to confirm that.
Yeah,
Kentucky,
Queens, New York City.
Mm. Yeah.
It's in Queens.
No wonder it's cold.
Yeah.
I am Queens Boulevard.
Queens, New York.
Wonder if Doug Heffernan's in attendance.
I was thinking it was, I knew it was in New York, but I didn't know exactly where in New York it was. That was my problem.
Dawson pitched out Florida you blocked it, but you didn't come over the top with
I knew it was New York, but I didn't know exactly where it was in New York, and I didn't want to throw it out there. You know, I mean, I don't want to be ball sacking people, but it's super cold where they're running, and it's great. It's on TV, so here we are. All right, the name of Rich Bisaccia, does that do anything for you guys?
No, it doesn't.
Any of these things?
It doesn't. It does nothing. I believe he's a special teams coach, right?
Right.
Yeah, I believe they were dead balls last in special teams this year. It's like if you can't do your own job, why are you getting a promotion?
Mm.
That doesn't make it. That's when guys get fired. It's like you're the head coach and you're a defensive head coach, and now over the last couple of seasons, guess what? Your defense has been the problem. You got to get out of here.
Well, maybe you're not reacting to some of the new rules well, but I don't know. There's a body of work here. He's done a nice job. He's been well respected.
He's been very well respected, though. You know, he had an opportunity here to do some work, and then moved on. The one thing I've always known, Rich Bisaccia absolutely hates my guts, and I know that for a fact. And so,
what happened?
No, it's just a lot going on. I mean, very critical of the Jason Garrett stuff.
Okay,
you know, and so,
and he was thinking, well, that means I'm going to be out
exactly.
of a job.
So you know, and I don't blame coaches, other coaches, football ops people, trainers, whoever else. I don't blame them for being mad at me when I start talking about coaches and fire this guy, fire that guy. I understand. I've been there. You know, it's not easy. I'm reporting on things, giving my views. But Rich Bisaccia wanted absolutely nothing to do with me. Hated me. And you know, if Rich were to get the head coaching job here, that would be tough on me because he and I just do not get along. But I'm getting the vibe, though, that Rich Bisaccia is not going to be the head coach here. I mean, you can kind of talk about names and stuff like that. And Rich is a very outspoken guy. And, you know, he's a kind of a hothead like I am. And so, you know, you just got to kind of, you know, I'm just the more that you dig into about him, because, you know, I was thinking, oh, well, I brought up his name last week. And then I didn't talk about it very much anymore, you know. And then so now recently it's, you know, here, oh, Rich Bisaccia, the secret name. No, not Rich Bisaccia.
I would love to see some fire at some point. Like, I think the reason the Rangers won is because CY isn't satisfied,
right?
Doesn't accept losing,
right?
You know, is fired up and wants answers. I think from the top down, and this is settled in with both coaches, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, we're going to trust the process under Garrett and Mike McCarthy. Everything's fine. You know, nothing's a big deal. We're going to take care of the players, make sure we're defending them at every juncture. Like, Ron Washington gets up there at the podium in a great G-Bag of the Year nominated clip, and he's like, the damn batter didn't get the job done. What do you want from me? I didn't do anything wrong. You know, so I think more intolerance for losing at risk of looking like a jerk is desperately what this Cowboys team needs. Nobody wants to be a jerk over there.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Nobody wants to be a jerk, but, you know, if you're one of these coaches that goes off, you know, and you work here, then you say something about the organization, and, you know, there's a lot of people that remember things that go on over here. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you're going to rock the boat. You're not one of us.
You never want to be the guy that's leaving an organization and then, like, and say bad things about it, and then it gets back.
I don't need you to say anything bad externally.
Yeah.
I need you, we lost, we have to get this fixed. I'm not going to bed tonight. You know, yeah. I can't believe it. I've been so humiliated. While the country club mentality seems to be, you know, well entrenched up there, I think they need somebody. Jerry used to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like I said, I wouldn't plan on with Rich Bisaccia. You know, I know that's a name, the secret name that maybe is going to be thrown out. The Pete Carroll name, I think that, you know, we need to figure out if there has been conversation between Pete Carroll's agent and then the Cowboys. Has Jerry called Pete Carroll? Has Pete Carroll called Jerry?
Nick reported that Jerry and Pete have talked.
Okay.
But they have not scheduled a formal interview.
Okay. See, so that's what we need. Was it Pete making the call or Jerry? And I, like I said earlier, I think there's something to that. That Jerry is really in discussions with his two sons, that Steven and Jerry Jr. are trying to convince him for the Schottenheimer hire, and Jerry has somebody else in mind.
You know, Pete's not that jerk, but I think he overcomes it with his own special brand of positivity and enthusiasm. We're going to be resilient, not by being tough on you, but by believing in you and empowering you. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding there with Pete Carroll winning in the NFL and in college, that I'd be like, okay, there's more than one way to skin a cat as long as you're genuine, and I think that's who Pete Carroll is, and it's worked for him. So I would be, you know, interested in what he could do with the culture, and I like the fact that, you know, he believes in defense and running the ball. I feel like a broken record at this point, but
sure,
that's how you get through. You know, you got to look at what the Eagles did, and while the metrics and the analytics crowd might say, wow, you're not passing the ball enough on early downs, it's working for them. You know, running game is, you know, is having a resurgence in the NFL, and now's the time to capitalize on that, especially with an aging quarterback who can't run anymore.
Yeah, you just want to hope that the old man coach and potentially Shoddy, the two guys that haven't had, you know, they haven't been at their height of their powers in the last half decade for sure. Mm-hmm. Have they advanced with the times? The mindset of wanting to run the ball and play great defense, that's fine. But how nuanced is your approach? Do you have to have awesome personnel to go out there and just dominate people? Or like you did with the Legion of Boom, you didn't do anything creative defensively.
No.
You just had great players. You had Marshawn Lynch. You had a respectable quarterback. You were running the football. Okay, that was a long time ago. Again, Shoddy told us at training camp, the fronts have changed. Defenses have reinvented themselves over the years. So that means, what are you doing offensively to combat that? If you're just going copy and paste from the crap you've been doing because you've been in football for so long and this is just what you do, and you need great personnel to just bully people, then that's useless.
It worked for Russell Wilson when he was in his mid-20s because you could run the option constantly. He'd get out of the pocket, play breaks down. 8 seconds later, he throws a bomb.
Yeah.
You know, it works because of him.
You don't have a mobile quarterback now.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that is exciting about Pete Carroll, though, is defense travels with him. I mean, he had a tremendous defense at USC. He did have a tremendous defense. And you mentioned the players, but part of that was because of him. Mm-hmm. Like, he was a product of getting and putting together elite personnel for that defense. I think he's a guy that is a good talent evaluator. I would love to know what Will McClay would think about that. Yeah. Like, does Will, you know, Will and in that relationship, like, does he feel like, man, I could really get in on this draft with Pete Carroll and we'd be able to put some good stuff together here?
I would just love to know how much he's evolved defensively to keep up with modern offenses.
There's a lot of it's, you know, your basic cover threes, you know, what he did with Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn. But Dan Quinn had a ton of success here. I wonder if he's able to take that to another level. I'd like to see what he does with Micah Parsons.
Do you guys, as I finish this thing up, do you guys worry about Pete Carroll being 74 years old?
Of course.
I mean, I think that's probably the perfect, if the Jason Witten thing is real, and I know you've pushed back on that, maybe it's not as real as
I don't think it's as real as others are talking
but
about.
But that would be an obvious, hey, Pete, when you're 3 years from now, you're 76.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
And easy transition to the next young guy.
But he is, trying to build up potential. He's probably the most like youthful old guy you've ever seen.
For sure. Absolutely.
Right? I mean, the dude doesn't look his age.
If he was like, if he was a tennis trainer, like there's no way my wife could get trained by him.
Right? Yeah, he got it going on with the energy, and I think some guys are ageless in that regard.
Sure.
You know, I think a lot of old guys wish that they could lock into that youthful mindset, but Pete Carroll really walks that walk. I think my bigger concern is, you know, what is he actually bringing to the defense? Some people will tell you he didn't run either side. You know, he's a culture, rah-rah guy. He's a tone setter dude.
But, you know, we talked about Zimmer, and I brought up, I don't think Zimmer would want to work with Schottenheimer. But what if it's Pete Carroll or something like that? I mean, Zimmer keeps getting passed over. I wish they would give Mike Zimmer a shot.
Me too.
I mean, God, the guy's worked for 6 of the 10 coaches they've ever hired here. Been passed over 4 times. You know, he's shown he's more than capable. Went to Minnesota, got a team in the playoffs. So,
but when Pete was at the top in Seattle,
exactly.
It was Dan Quinn.
There you go.
You know,
there you go.
So,
you're absolutely right about that.
So I would hope that they would pair him with somebody. And my first choice, I mean, would be Zimmer.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to give him a pay raise and, you know, make him feel appreciated, because I would understand how, if I'm in his shoes right now, I don't need it. You know, I kind of feel like you don't respect me or appreciate the job that I've done. So, you know, I'd be looking to give Zim a bump and make him feel as appreciated as possible, because, you know, I said it yesterday, this defense struggled to adjust from Dan Quinn to Mike Zimmer.
Sure.
And maybe they were resistant. And they talked about it.
Mike talked about it too. That he didn't. He should have jumped their ass.
So, are they going to learn another defensive coordinator quickly? Probably not. You know, if you want to win next year, you need to significantly improve your offense and, you know, have that consistency on defense there. Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner live here from Krusty's on Lower Greenville. Come say hi, fellowship. Grab a Stella. Okay, our appearance today brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. NFL Draft Big Board Report. Why the Cowboys got to get a running back before this round ends in the NFL Draft. That's coming up next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan.